You're looking in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I'll begin reading in verse number 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Verse 13 says, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I'm looking and interested in the message that God has put on my heart this morning in verse number 13, where it says, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. I want to ask you a question this morning. And simply want to say, will you embrace Christ with His cross? Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, I appreciate the privilege it is to stay this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the open door to pray this morning. I appreciate that, God. And thank you, Lord, for all the men of God that's come out, Lord. I feel so small in their presence, God, but I appreciate you all for being in my heart this morning. I thank you for that, God. I appreciate, Lord, your precious word, God. Thank you for the preaching that we heard, Lord, last night, yesterday, and for every man of God that's preached, God. I thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for the good fellowship, God, the good food, and the good rest last night. I appreciate that, God. And, Lord, I appreciate, Lord, your kindness to us today and your good grace, God. Lord, I pray you take away every thought that's of myself, God, today. I'm not just preaching to what you have me to say and your oracles, God, today. I pray that your word, Lord, touching every heart, God, from the front and the back, Lord. Those, Lord, I pray that suffer today, would you help them, God? And, Lord, I appreciate your grace on my life and your grace here in this meeting, God, this dear pastor, one of my friends, and I appreciate his church, God. And I pray that you would help us now, Lord. Go forth with your power now and touch hearts, Lord. Deal with sinners, I pray, and exhort the saint of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, and you can be seated. We know here in this text that Paul is making a connection with Old and New Testament things here. And we know that the old priests there in the Old Testament, when they had the sacrifice, they would go without the camp. They would bear that outside the camp and being the scapegoats and those other sin offerings. And so here we see that Paul is relating this to Jesus Christ being the sacrificial lamb for all man's sin, and how that He went outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and how that He went outside the city and He left the city to go to a place called Calvary, or to Golgotha, or the place of the skull. And there He was crucified and suffered and hung upon the cross for our sin. And I thank God for that today. But I'm interested in this statement where we know that Jesus has went outside the city, and we know that He has gone out in full obedience unto God His Father. And we know that He's gone to the cross for His Father. We know that He's suffered for His Father. We know that He's become obedient unto death because of it's what the will of God. It was because of the will of the Father. It's what the Lord wanted. And so I thank God for that today. It helps me to realize, to know that Jesus died for the Father upon the cross. And so because the Father loves sinners. And I appreciate that today, and I thank God for that. But here we see where Paul is making this exhortation here in the latter part of the book of Hebrews, and he makes this statement and says, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. And it's easy to live a life, if you will, inside the camp or a life inside the city where the marketplace is busy and we go about our day-to-day hustle and bustle and get caught up in the affairs of the city life or the affairs of the camp life and never do ever venture outside those comfort zones and bearing His cross or His reproach and following Him outside the camp. And so, by way, I simply want to ask you that question. Are you willing to embrace the Christ or embrace the Lord Jesus Christ? And most folks, they will embrace Christ because of His benefits, because of an escape route from hell or because He gives joy and peace, or they embrace Christ for those extra added benefits. But I'm asking you today, will you embrace Christ with His cross and with His reproach and with His shame and with His suffering that goes along with the cross and with the life that Christ now lives within us? So we see here several different cases where pictures, if you will, in the Old Testament where the cross is portrayed. Can I mention, first of all, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14, we see a very amazing story. And it was one, even Hebrews mentions there in that chapter of faith, named Moses, that he was one to forsake the pleasures of Egypt that he might embrace the cross, if you will, that he might take upon the reproach or the recompense of his reward, seeing the things that Christ could offer, not the things that the world or Egypt offered. Here in Exodus 14 is dealing with that very thing where they've been released and they've made their way out from bondage from Pharaoh and from Egypt's slavery, out of the hand of taskmasters, and they've made their way to a parting, if you will, and they've gone a little piece of 3 days journey, if you will, in the wilderness, and they've come to an obstacle known as the Red Sea. And as they're there, they're faced with dilemma. They know that on their heels and trailing them is Pharaoh and his army. They're coming after him and after them. And so we know that the Lord speaks unto Moses, and Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord," there in verse 13. Then also we see that God has given Moses and works in great power, as Moses said in verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went unto the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. And so here we see that it typifies salvation, if you will, have it here this morning, that they're no longer in Egypt's land. There's nothing that they've done in their own power to cause the waters to go back. There's nothing that they've stirred up in themselves to make the waters go back. It was God that had sent a strong east wind. Now, the Bible doesn't say that the wind blew. The Bible just says that the wind, in verse 21, that this strong east wind, that said it caused the sea to go back all the night. And then it says as they walked through this wind, that it the water was as a wall to one side and as a wall to the other side. And it appears to me that this wind has just settled down in the midst of this Red Sea. And it, in a sense, it's got its arm pushed out on this side, holding back that water. And it's got the other arm pushing back this side. And you get a picture of the cross in the middle, what holding back the waters on either side. And all they had to do was simply, by faith, walk down inside of that dry sea and that dry ground and walk through that, thank God. And then when they did get to the other side, when they got to the other side, now it's unnatural. It's against man's will to walk down and knowing that there's a great force of water on one side and a great weight and force of water on the other side. And my natural tendency says, don't do that. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. That water can come back and drown too. But thank God, by God giving faith and the grace of God, I can walk down in those parted waters and trust Christ. That strong east wind that's got the waters parted back, that's paved the way, thank God, that I can get to the other side. My faith, I can walk down in the midst of those and embrace the cross, if you will, and embrace Christ. And if you've ever been born again by the grace of God, you've had to have gone against yourself and what you thought and what you've tried to figure out in your mind. It's not anything. Salvation is not anything you can figure out in your mind. It's a miracle of the new birth, thank God. You can't figure it out. You can't put it together. You can't add it up. You can't ABC it or 1, 2, 3 it, thank God. It's a miracle of a new birth where the God of heaven gives grace and gives you a gift of faith and a space to repent and come in and get burned again. Thank God, it's a miracle. Woo! Thank God. That ain't something I can do on my own, thank God. I didn't try to figure out the wind blowing that day. All I know, it was a blowing. It parted the ways on that Wednesday night in Yorkshire, Virginia. It's God come by my way and said, son, here's the way. I've got it parted for you. The window is open for you to repent. I've come to God. I didn't know all to say. I didn't have all the right words. But I fell myself down on my face saying, God, have mercy on me. Oh, thank God. And God, by His grace, let me to get to the other side. Thank God. And God born again. That miracle's still working on the inside today. I thank God for that. I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God. I appreciate His grace. I was sitting there next to Mama. And thank God. I was just sitting there, you know, God had been speaking to me all week, Brother Owens, and God had been working in me all week long, and I tried to do better. I said, I'll do more chores at home. I'll try to please Daddy better at home, but the more better I try to do, the more worse safe for God. And on that, well, on Sunday night, I said, God, I'm going to go tonight and get saved. I was trying to barter out with God. I was trying to figure God out, and I said, God, I'm going to go tonight, and then come time for invitation, I didn't feel God tugging on me. I said, oh no, I've missed my opportunity. I've missed my chance. I've let the devil lie to me and tell me that my friends would laugh at me. Tell me that folks would, I mean, I was raised in church. They knew I was a quote unquote good boy, but God knew and I knew too. And on the inside, I wasn't a good boy. I'd done wrong and I knew it. I committed it. I'd offended a holy God. I said, God, if you let me get back alive on Wednesday night, I want to do business with you. I knew there was nothing of myself that could save me. I just wanted to grab a hold of God. And on Wednesday night, I sat next to Mom in the pew. The pastor got up and he said, we're going to have opening prayer. And he said, I want all the folks to come down and pray. Altar prayer. And everybody's come down and pray. And all the saints are gathered around. I sat back next to Mom. I said, God, if you let me wait till... If you let me wait till invitation, go, I want to get saved. And he was working on me. He said, won't you just come now? And I said, thank you, Lord. I left my little seat where I was sitting, thank God, and make my way to an altar of repentance. The saints of God were saying amen and getting up. And an old sinner was getting down, thank God. God, by His grace, worked a miracle on the inside of me, thank God. Thank God. I'm glad it's real. I'm glad it's something that ain't a put on or a fake. It's real. It's real. It's real. Thank God. Thank God. Well, they got through the other side, and then God let the waters come back down upon the enemy and killed the horse and the rider. Killed all the means for the sin nature to operate in me. And made that separation. And I didn't know all that I had in Christ. I just knew I was saved. Right. I didn't know all of the things I know about God, but I knew that He had moved on the inside. I didn't have to force myself to read the Bible. I wanted to. I didn't have to force myself to get up and get ready for church. I wanted to be ready. When the preacher preached, I didn't find myself daydreaming or drawing pictures or writing notes to my buddies. I wanted to listen to what the man of God had to say. And thank God, there's a change on the inside of me. I'll ask you today, sinner friend, will you embrace the cross? Will you embrace the cross? That's what the folks are trying to do today. Trying to get to heaven without going to the cross. You've got to go by the cross. It's the only way. The cross carries a death penalty with it. You've got to be willing to die to yourself and die to your ways and come to God on His terms. On the terms of the gospel. What we see in the book of Judges chapter number 16. A man, his name is Samson. We talked about him some last night. Judges chapter 16. I'm asking today, will you embrace Christ and His cross? Samson was a man chosen of God to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You'll find that back in chapter 13, verse number 5. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. God raised up this man, Samson, to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. God had chosen, God had picked him out. And so Samson grows up and he begins. He's a Nazarite from birth, as the man of God told us last night. Yet he finds himself living a life at the latter end, a life in bondage. A man that the Spirit of God fell mightily upon Samson. But he finds himself living in bondage. Chapter 15, we find it at the very first mention here, where it says in verse number 13, now they spake unto him, saying, now, can I just tell you real quick, Samson has just slain some Philistines because of his wife. And he's gone to the rock Edom. And the Philistines pitched down below in the valley. And his own brethren, 3,000 men of Judah, his own countrymen, they come to him and they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee unto their hand, but will surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And so here you see Samson, a mighty man of God, and he's being put in bonds by his own brethren. Those that are his fellow countrymen, his own brethren, they're the ones that's putting the bonds on him and putting him back under bondage. When I left, if you'll just stay with me this morning, when I left Egypt's land, and when that Red Sea come back down, there was a separation between all the old way, and behold, all things have become new. I am no longer dead in my trespass and sin. I'm alive in the Christ and the God. When those seas come back down, the Bible says it killed horse and rider. Rider being the means, the horse being the means that how the rider would get to me. And so that sin nature being the horse, the rider being Satan, how Satan works through the very nature of your inside of you, the sin nature. That's how he works. That's how he... Before I was saved, that's what controlled me. That's what, when I was a lost sinner, when that sin nature said, tell a lie, I had no choice but to tell a lie. When that sin nature said, look at that woman in lust after, I had no choice but to look. I was controlled by that sin nature. It controlled me. It was in my mind, my thoughts, my actions was all controlled by that sinful nature that I was born with. But after I got saved, there's been a separation of that. Now there's still a horse and rider, if you will. There's still that sin nature, but it doesn't, it's not connected to me anymore. It used to control me. It used to turn my head and turn my eyes and control my tongue. It controlled my thoughts. It controlled everything about me. But now that there's been that I'm dead to sin, in Colossians 3, ye are dead, thank God, that I'm no longer controlled by the sin nature. Though it's alive and well, I'm dead to it, thank God. So it cannot, there's a separation now, though it's still in there. I'm still able to do all things, all the wicked things I used to do, but it no longer can control me. There's been a separation between the sin nature and the new creation in Christ, thank God. So that sin nature can come to you and say, hey, Phil, I want you to look over there at that pretty woman and lust after. And he can try to turn your head. He can point and say, look, look, look. But he can't touch you. He can't make you do it, thank God. So great a salvation that God made in such a way that I ain't got to sin, thank God. I don't got to have any. I don't got to have one habitual sin, thank God. Thank be to Jesus, amen. But here's Samson. He finds himself being put in bonds by his brethren. We're in Christ, we're free. There's liberty, thank God. I'm free as a bird. I'm no longer in prison no more. I'm free to fly, thank God. I take the bonds off. I'm free, thank God. Remember when it was Lazarus in the tomb and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus got up and come forth and he had the grave clothes binding him down. What did Jesus say? And he said unto them, he said unto them, loose him and let him go. It was them that put the bonds on him. If we'll just understand this and realize that may our eyes of our understanding be enlightened there. Ephesians 1:18, thank God. I might know the hope of his calling and be free from the bondage of sin and the bondage of the law. Well, here's what happened to Samson. He's got himself in the bondage again. It seems to be the same old thing. He can never get the victory over this. It's just like it's just this one thing. Y'all ever been there? Just this one thing. I can't get the victory over it. I'm in bonds. All through chapter 16, you see Samson. He's in bonds. Then he's in victory. Then he's in bonds again. And look at this text in chapter 16. He's compassed him in Gaza. Then he breaks it away and goes to the hill before heaven. Then he goes in the valley of Sorek and then he's being bound. And then he's free again. He breaks it in verse number 9. And then in verse number 10, he's bound again. And verse 11, he's free again. And verse 12, he's bound again. And it's back and forth, back and forth. It's this vicious cycle of victory and failure, victory and failure, victory and failure. Then I come into church, I've got the victory so I can shout and praise God. And then by Monday or Tuesday, I've failed God. Now woe is me. I ain't no good. I've been put in bonds again. And then I come back in and it's, oh, God's help me. I've got the victory. It's up and down, valley and mountaintop experience. It's in and out, cold and hot. Oh, it's a mess. God has not designed the Christian life to be lived this way. He designed the Christian life to be lived in victory and in power. But being bound down, being set free. It's the same old thing with Samson. It involves women, and he can't ever get the victory over it. I won't say how many of us here in the congregation this morning have suffered from this. Maybe it's our tongue. Maybe it's our attitude. Whatever it is,
I get the victory today, but I'm failing tomorrow. I'm up and down. I've victory, failure, victory, failure. It's this vicious cycle. It never goes away. It's always creeping and attacking Samson.
I'm going to stop here and say this, though, real quick. Samson went down to the Valley of Sorek. Now, the Valley of Sorek down, is right on the border of Israel and the Philistia, the land of the Philistines. It's actually still inside Israel's territory. When we preach about old Delilah, the Philistine, she really wasn't. See, the Bible don't say that. The Bible says a lady of the Valley of Sorek, Delilah. So really, she was an Israelite living on the borders of God's country and the devil's country. She was one of God's people that allowed herself to be influenced by the devil's crowd, by the enemy's crowd. Now, I want to say maybe the first thing we ought to do is live up close to God and away from the borders, thank God. I don't want to get near the border. I'm standing next to God, living in God's country, and enjoying the land of Canaan, thank God.
And so Samson is finding himself in that struggle of victory and failure, victory and failure, victory and failure.
And he ends up at the last deal. He's put in bonds. The Bible says he's grinding in the prison house. They poked his eyes out now. He can't see a thing. I mean, here's this mighty man he's a man of God, that the power has come upon him in such a mighty way. He's destroyed the enemy time and time again. But it's failure and defeat and victory and failure and defeat. Well, why can't he just get out of that vicious cycle? Why is he stuck in the cycle? I got the victory over it now, but then tomorrow I'll fail again. I think if I can just go to another camp meeting, I'll have the victory. And through the whole week camp meeting, I'll be on the mountaintop shouting the victory. But then a month later, I'll be back in the same old self again. Failure. Oh, thank God. I will tell you, there is a way out of the vicious cycle. There's a way out, thank God. Bible said Samson was grinding. I'm going to stop here and tell you this real quick. Grinding in the Bible, sometimes we get this picture of Samson pushing this big old horse thing around in a circle. Pushing around, grinding, grinding, grinding. That really wasn't the case. In the Bible, the word grinding is always referred to a woman's job. You look over there in the gospel accounts when he's saying the Lord's going to come. He says that the two women will be grinding. One will be left, one will be taken away. You see again in the book of Lamentations where Jeremiah is lamenting over the people and their sin. And he makes that statement. He says, and the enemy will come in and they're going to cause the young men to grind. To grind for a man was a reproach to God. It was a job that they was not designed to do. Here's Samson. God has said, I've handpicked you to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he's doing something that he's not supposed to do, all because he's in that cycle of bondage and failure and victory and failure, victory and failure. What can we do to get you out of the cycle, dear Samson? Samson, the Bible says, and his hair began to grow. Ain't that something? He didn't have to work anything up. He didn't have to struggle anything. Thank God. It just began to grow. Then he finds himself here and he's got a lad by the hand and they're having a big party, a big festival. And Samson says to the lad, can you carry me over to the pillar that holds up the foundation for this temple, Dagon? And the lad leads him over there and he feels pillars. And he put one hand upon one side. Put the other hand upon the other side.
The Bible said he bowed himself. Called out to God that he might avenge the enemy. And he pushed with all of his might. The temple fell. The Bible says it killed more at his death than it did at his life. That's what I'm asking today. I'm asking you today, are you willing to embrace Christ with his cross in victory? That's the picture of Samson.
Y'all see it? There he is. He's pushing the pillars. And he's realized that the victory, I can't get it in myself. I can't do it on my own. I can just let Christ be the victory in me. Thank God. Thank God. The only way you'll get out of that vicious cycle is to die to yourself and embrace the cross. Thank God. And embrace the cross. And as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, oh, thank God, I am crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ living in me, thank God. It was Christ. Jesus is the way, thank God. He's the only way out of the vicious cycle of victory and failure for you to stop trying on your own to defeat the sin in you, but to know and reckon it so. It don't affect me no more. It's away from me anymore. And thank God it's Jesus. Embracing the cross. How many folks I know struggle this way and live in such struggle? God didn't save us to live a life of struggle. He didn't save us for us to struggle in sanctification. Jesus is our sanctification. We're to be partakers of His holiness, not try to put on our holiness. What a mockery in the face of God for us to try to outdo what God's already done. Just partake in what He's already done. The struggle's gone away. If I can just realize, and that when I do mess up, and I know that I'll sin. I'm not preaching perfection. But I'm trying to be perfect as much as I can. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But when I do mess up, when I do sin, I don't have to wallow in it. I don't got to get out and say, "Oh, it was me." I can. The Lord set up in such a way. All I got to do is confess it and walk on.
Amen.
What a Savior. Just confess and walk on. Get up and dust yourself off and keep going, thank God. You stay down here in the worst state you can be. Just get up and go on for the glory of God. Press on for the Savior, thank God.
So now you start walking that way. All of a sudden, your Christian experience used to go like this. Mountaintop, valley, victory and failure, in and out, up and down. It'll just kind of plain out. Will you embrace Christ? Will you embrace Christ with His cross today? Salvation, we see it in Samson's life. And then lastly, we see it in the book of Hebrews that I read to you this morning. Talking about the will of God for you. You want to know something today, dear friend? Your life is not your own. I want to tell you today, the best thing you can do is give yourself to God. Surrender your entire self to God. How are young folk these days? They've got their own plans. What we're going to do, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to get this degree. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Can I save you a lot of heartache and a lot of tears? Just give yourself to God. I don't know. God may want me to do this. He might, but thank God, what a privilege it is to serve a living God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Die to yourself and die to your ways and say whatever it is you want, God. That's what I want. I'll go with God and embrace the cross and for once go outside the city and go and serve the living God. In the city, it's marketplace, it's busy, it's bustle. So many things to distract us. So many things to rob us of our mind and our hearts to be swept away. But outside the city, inside the city, there's all kinds of light. They got the city full of lights. Outside the city, it's a land of darkness.
But if you're saved, you carry a light with inside of you. There's a bunch of folk out there still needing the gospel. A bunch of folks still need to hear the truth preached. What a privilege to be raised in America to hear the gospel preached. And know that I've heard the truth preached in my heart. Thank God that I've been born again. There's still lands in other places that's never heard the gospel. Never one time heard it, Brother Jones. Never heard the gospel. Oh. Would you go outside the city? Would you embrace Christ at the cross? Die to your plans and your ways. I want to tell you today, you'll never regret it. I never one time regretted serving God. I know sometimes we struggle and sometimes we have to suffer. But sufferings, they're just little chips of the cross anyway. Ask your question, I'm through. Will you embrace Christ for this cross?